The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at 34.
Praise glory to God.
Hearing that Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is this, like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
This here is a metro card. It's used here in Christchurch to pay for bus trips and for the ferry service to Diamond Harbour. You just place it on the card reader on the bus or the ferry, and it deducts a fare like $1 or $2 or $4 or nothing for children. And then you can travel on buses throughout the city for 2 hours. You only have to pay for two fares a day maximum. Some of you may have a Super Gold card, so you don't need a Metro card. Some of you never use a bus or a ferry, but that's all right. The thing that is that the Metro card, this card here, can only be used in Christchurch, no other city in the world. In our family, we've got 7 of those Metro cards. One for Mum, one for Dad, and one extra one for adults, which is the old one which we got when we first moved here, and then 4 for children, including 1 for my niece, in case she turns up. But we've also got a few other public transport cards for a few other places. Any guesses how many places we might have public transport cards? Well, we've got 5 or 6 more places plus a few expired ones. So these are the Snapper cards for Wellington. We've got those for the family. These are the Hop cards for Auckland. I've ordered a B card, which is for Queenstown, Dunedin, Nelson, Tauranga, and Waikato, and a few more places in New Zealand, but it hasn't arrived yet. So, but we've also got some from overseas. This is the Metro Santo Domingo, the one for the Dominican Republic, the card. Then I've got the card, the Rav Kav card, which is for Israel, for most of the buses and trains there. And here, well, Swiss Pass, you can guess what country that's for. That's for Switzerland. There's nothing loaded on there, but it's still valid. In addition to that, we've got a few expired cards. We've got the Bus It card, which used to be the old one for Hamilton. I've still found a Ritchie's Fast Pass from the bad old days when each operator in New Zealand had their own card, and there were sometimes different operators during the day and evening on the same route and in each town. So you had to, if you really want to get across New Zealand, you had to have about 15 different cards. Then I've got the Bio Vias card, which is for the southern region in Chile. That's expired by now. I've got the Bahn card, which is for Germany. And finally, I've got the old Swiss Pass, which was replaced by the new one that's still valid. So that's my little collection of cards. Half of them are still valid and needed if you want to travel anywhere. As you can see, trying to get around by public transport can be a bit complicated. Now, you have to have a different card for each place. In a week and a half or so, I'm planning a trip to Auckland and Hamilton. And for that, I'll need to carry 3 different cards, one to get to the airport here, then in Auckland, and finally for Hamilton. but help is on the way, at least in New Zealand. Soon, payment for public transport will get simplified. There'll be just one payment system to cover the whole of New Zealand. Apparently, you'll even be able to use credit cards directly to pay for public transport fares. Having just one card for the whole country will be a big improvement. Just by the side, I have slight qualms about it, the solution offered, because it's done through a major military and intelligence company. But otherwise than that, it's okay. It's probably better than having to carry different cards for each region. So instead of carrying half a dozen cards, we'll just need one. That will make life a lot easier, especially for those traveling around New Zealand. Of course, those going overseas, they may still need some of those cards like this. Well, I'm not sure many people are going to Israel at the moment, but this is the card for Israel. Maybe the question about the commandments of the law is a bit similar. After all, there are hundreds of commandments in the law. Everything from not eating birds like owls to the exact order of offerings, to more general ones like not worshipping idols. In addition, at Jesus' time, Jews had added even more rules to make sure that none of the commandments were broken. For example, in the law in Leviticus, it says that you should not cook a goat kid in its mother's milk. Well, to make sure that this could not happen in any way, now the Jews had rules that prohibited preparing any dairy product together with meat products. So wouldn't it be a lot easier keeping the law if rather than hundreds of rules, there was just one commandment to guide behavior and obedience? Well, in actual fact, Jews had been arguing about bringing the law back to basics for some time. And so when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." That's a direct quote from the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, it's a quote from the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, which is the central confession of faith of Israel. So rather than quoting, for example, from the Ten Commandments, Jesus referred to confession as the greatest commandment. It's in this confession and relationship to God that all the other commandments are fulfilled. Jesus adds a second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a quote from the book of Leviticus. Now, in contrast with the first quote, that's not from a prominent passage. Rather, it comes from a long list of detailed laws, some of them fairly general, such as do not steal, others a bit more specific, such as that you should only eat fruit from a fruit tree in its fifth year. It could, however, also be seen as the conclusion of a short section on justice and how we should treat our fellow human beings. Two short commandments, then, that encapsulate all the detailed requirements of the law. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Now, what's noticeable about these two commandments is that they both refer to our inner motivations. After all, it might be possible to observe many of the commandments, for example, giving the right offerings and letting the poor glean our fields, observing them, but without the right motivation. The external form of commandments could be obeyed without following their true significance. So for Jesus, the inner motivation of the law is more important. Now with that, Jesus picks up the message of the prophets who told the people to change their hearts rather than just comply with the laws. The prophets and Jesus later called people to follow the spirit of the law rather than complying with the letter of the law. And through that, the laws call us to a deeper relationship with God, which is also expressed in our relationship with our neighbor. Now, as Christians, we have a somewhat complicated relationship with the law of the Old Testament, particularly in the more legal provisions. Through Jesus, the relationship with God is not focused on the law, but rather on the person of Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the law. In him, we are reconciled to God, or as the Book of Common Prayer says, Jesus on the cross made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. The many ritual provisions of the Old Testament are no longer relevant, except in an indicative, allegorical way. And the other laws are not seen so much as legal obligations, but more as guidance in a world that has drastically changed. I still think at times it's right to consider what is important in the law, in the laws of the Old Testament. After all, we may distort too much what it means to love our neighbor and to love God. In our focus on the essential, we may move too far away from what's truly essential by glossing it over with our human concerns. It's because of our human tendency to take our own conclusions or the conclusions of our times as the final wisdom that we need to be challenged by the law. The two greatest commandments, Jesus said, are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If that's what the law and God's word to us is chiefly about, then it's not so much about an obligation, but an offer. It's an invitation to that deep relationship with God and a new way of living together. After all, this is what we humans are made for, what fulfills us, what gives us purpose, to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor. Jesus says that the law and the prophets hang on this. Now, in Jesus' time, and particularly in the Gospels, the phrase the law and the prophets was often a phrase used to describe the Bible. So that's what the Bible offers, in a sense. It draws us into a relationship with God and with our fellow human beings. It gives us guidance for that life of fullness. It tells us about God's expression of love, about God's purposes for the world. Rather than debating the individual provisions of the Bible, we need to focus on this call to relationship to God and from there to those around us. For that gives us a deeper life that only God can give.